Well, buenos dias. Good morning, church. And happy Cinco de Mayo. And I'm glad, so glad it's awesome to see you guys this morning. And thank you for coming out on a special Sunday. For today is graduation Sunday, in which we get to honor some amazing young men and young women on what they've accomplished. And can we just go ahead and give them a round of applause for what they have done? So congratulations, graduates. You practically made it. You're almost there, and I can't express how proud we are of each and every one of you of what you have done. And it's something that you should be proud of, and church is something that we should be proud of them. Because not everybody graduates, not everybody makes it to this mark. And it's something that I think is very important in all culture, because it's the closest thing we have to a womanhood or a manhood trial. And graduates, you are young men and young women. And you have a family and a church family who loves you so much. Which is why, I mean, today, as it was mentioned already, there's a potluck afterwards that we get to feast and celebrate. And it's amazing that we get to celebrate with you as a church and as a family. And church, I want to challenge us that yes, some of our graduates are staying here. For both those who are staying and both those who are leaving, that we don't need to forget about them. That we need to continue to pray for them and encourage them and love on them. Because this world is a broken and scary place. And we need each other to lift each other up and encourage each other. And graduates, one of the amazing things about the church is that it doesn't just exist here in Rolla. That exists in Arkansas and Texas, across the seas in Africa and China. That the church knows no bounds. That it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter what ethnic group that you're part of. That everybody is welcome to the table of the Lord. And the amazing thing about that no matter where you go, you can fellowship with the church. And we need to be a people that encourage each other and love on each other. And a people that others will want to come to and fellowship with us. So graduation is an amazing time. It's also a scary and intimidating time because it's a time of change. It's a time of transition. And there's a lot of you out there today that might not be graduating. But maybe you're going through or have experienced recently or about to go through a transitional time of yourself. Whether that be having a new kid or moving to a new house or going to a new grade. That as long as we're living, we're going through changes. And some of those changes may be good that we look forward to and we can't wait for. And some of those changes that happen suddenly may be bad, but they change us. And then there's some changes that happen that it might be a mixture of both. But unless if we're in the grave, we're going to be constantly changing. And it's something that we need to embrace, and something that we don't always have to be afraid of. Graduation is also a great time to pass on some last-minute wisdom. Because things are about to change, about to go into a new chapter of your life. And there might be a few things parents are thinking of you want to share with your teens before things change. And there's some really great wisdom and some really great quotes that you can find out there. Such as this one from Frederick Buchner. That you can kiss your family and friends goodbye and put miles between you. But at the same time, you carry them within your heart, your mind, and your stomach. Because you do not just live in a ward, but a ward lives in you. Well, one man you may hear quoted a lot at different graduations, because even though he was a children's author, he had a lot of wise things to say, is Dr. Seuss. For today you are you that is truer than true, and there's nobody alive who is youer than you. And then also if you pay attention and listen, you can find that there's wisdom all around you, such as from my own Tom Baird. That he wrote, a child should always know that it is loved. Love shouldn't have to be guessed. It should be expressed. Love should not be confused with approval. And even though there's a lot of great places and a lot of great young men and women that we can get wisdom from, the ultimate wisdom comes from the Father. And so today, church, I'm going to be reading a lot from the words of Jesus during a very important transitional time for him and his disciples. and want us to take to heart his words, what he was expressing, and to listen and to see the challenges that it has for us. So if you will, I want us to go back about 2,000 years ago and imagine that we're in a room that is much smaller than this, a small, intimate place, and we see 14 men. And we see one of them stand up, and he goes over to the door where there's a bull. And he takes out his outer clothes, and he wraps a towel around himself, which is something that is surprising and shocking. From the culture back then, because sandals were the fashion, you would walk around all the time, and your feet would get dirty and nasty, that it was polite when you went into a house that you would wash your feet. If you had a host or a hostess who was being really, really gracious to you and wanted you to feel really welcome, then they would wash your feet for you. If you walked into a house that was pretty rich, then there'd be servants who would wash your feet for you. But it wasn't a custom for a rabbi, a renowned teacher who would go around the country and people to come to him and ask him questions, or bring their kids to him, or bring people who were sick or injured and have them heal them. It wasn't custom for such a man to wash the feet of other men. And yet Jesus picked up this bull and he went to one of the men and he grabbed their feet and he began to wash them. And I can imagine that the disciples were just shocked, and maybe they tried to resist or maybe they didn't know what to say. But he went from man to man washing their feet. And Peter knew that there was something wrong. And either he was trying to call teacher out, or maybe he was struggling with his own pride. And he said, "Teacher, you shouldn't wash my feet." And Jesus, with love in his eyes, looked at him and said, "That if I do not wash your feet, you can't take part with me." And so Peter, being the gung-ho attitude that he had, says, "Then don't just wash my feet, but my hands and my head as well." And Jesus said to him, "Your feet's enough, for all of you are clean but one." And so Jesus went around the room, washing the feet of these 12 men, with Peter and James, John, Andrew, Thomas. And then he comes to one of the men who's been traveling around with him for the last 3 years. And the man that he comes to is Judas. And Jesus at this point knows what Judas is doing, that he's talked to the great high priest, and that he's about to leave him, get some guards, and meet Jesus in the garden and have him arrested and handed over to the Romans. And yet, knowing this, Jesus didn't kick Judas out of the room. He didn't just skip over Judas, but he washed his feet as well. And after he's washed all of these 12 men's feet, he takes off the towel and he sits back at the table with them. And he tells them that, "I am your Lord and teacher. And I have set an example for you to follow. That just as I have washed your feet, so ought you wash one another's feet." And let us consider who's speaking at the moment. This is Jesus. The same man that, if we go to Revelation chapter 5, is the one that the angels are praising. The one that they say, "Worthy is the Lamb, holy, holy is he." That he is part of the Trinity, that he is God. That he is the one who lived in heaven, who is worshipped by angels. And yet he decided to come down to earth, to be in a body that sweats, that can get hurt, to be in a world that is broken and sinful. And not only this, but he could have been born into any family. That he could be born to a rich family that lived in a palace, but instead he chose a lowly carpenter and his wife. That he could have been a magnificent teacher that everybody flocked to. That he could have been teaching at the synagogues. But instead he decided to wander around in a wilderness going from town to town. That this Jesus had mercy on a prostitute. That he was willing to touch lepers, men with skin disease that were considered unclean, that people didn't want to be around. that he ate at the same table as tax collectors and sinners. This is the man who washed the feet of these 12 men. And if our Lord and Savior can do this, then how much are we expected to do, church? And maybe it's not a custom today to wash each other's feet. But how can we take what Jesus did in a sacrifice and what he was willing to do and apply it to our daily lives? And church, if he was willing to wash the feet of Judas, then we need to serve and we need to love the Judases who are in our life. This is the same Jesus who commanded us to love our enemies. That we're supposed to love each other and we're supposed to love the Lord no matter what happens to us. Whereas after this happens, that Jesus takes the bread and he breaks it. And he passes it to disciples and said, "This is my body which is broken for you." Which in a few hours it would be broken by whip and by nail. And then he took a cup, which was filled with wine, and he passed to the disciples as a drink. "For this is my blood, which was spilled for the forgiveness of sins." And then Judas would leave them. And Jesus would prophesy that Peter would deny him 3 times. And then after all of this, as John records, Jesus had some last words that he wanted to share with his disciples. Some last wisdom, some last thoughts, some last comforts that he wanted to give to them before he went to pray to in Gethsemane, before he would be handed over to the Romans to be crucified. And it's these words today, church, I'd like us to meditate and to listen to. And if you have your Bible, please feel free to follow along in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, and believe also in me. For in my Father's house there are many rooms, and if it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and will take you to myself, and where I am, you may also be. And you know the way to where I am going." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it's enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own authority. But the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. And what if you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. And that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear was not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, I give to you. And let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I'm going away and will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I've told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. And I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. But he has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go up from here. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken into you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. And whoever abides in me and I in him, he is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As a Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be fulfilled. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than for one to lay down his life for his friends. And you all, my friends, if you do what I command you, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. So whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. These things I command, so that you will love one another. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is no greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on my account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I'm going to him who sent me. And none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I would tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he would guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He would declare to you the things that are to come. He would glorify me, for he would take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine, therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again, a little while, and you will see me. So some of his disciples said to one another, what is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again in a little while you will see me, and because I'm going to the Father. So they were saying, what does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about. Jesus knew what they wanted to ask him. So he said to them, is this what you're asking yourselves? What I meant by saying a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. For when a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish, for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again. And your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. And that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. And that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I have came from God. I came from the Father, and I've come into the world, and now I'm leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciples said, "Ah, now you speak plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come. When you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world." When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you are the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you have gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in my own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world began. I have manifested your name to the people you have gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I've given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them. And have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. But now I'm coming to you, and these things I speak in the word, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. For their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. And I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you. And these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I'll continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. So, church graduates, I would like us to take these words that Jesus spoke to the disciples and to meditate on them and to listen to them. And if you want to read them again, just turn to John chapter 14 through 17 and see the words that Jesus said to his disciples. That he told them to love one another. That his hope for them was to be one just as him and the Father were one. He told them that he was the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one could get to the Father except through him. He said that he is the true vine and we are the branches, and he expects us to produce fruit, to share the gospel, to expand the kingdom. And he also told them that as they go out into the world, that the world would hate them. But he gave them comfort knowing that the Lord hated him first. And graduates and church, he expects us to go out into that world. And no matter who we encounter, to love them. And yes, we may be persecuted for it. We may sacrifice a lot. And we may have a lot taken away. But remember these warnings, these teachings, these commands, and this comfort is coming from Jesus. And he was willing to sacrifice everything for us. And so he doesn't ask something that he wasn't willing to do himself. And even though, no matter what happens in our lives, we may lose something, heaven is going to be so much greater. And that is the hope that we can look forward to, church. So no matter what changes, God doesn't, and Jesus promises don't. So in a minute, graduates, I'm going to ask you to stand. And church, as a family, we have two very precious gifts that we can give to them together. That a blessing is a very special thing. And we have two very ancient yet powerful blessings as a church that are like us to give to these graduates before they start this next chapter of their lives. So graduates, if you can you please stand up? And church, with me, can you repeat these words with me and bless these graduates? Go ahead, graduates. Church, it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Go ahead and go to the next one. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Graduates, congratulations. Well, church, if there's any needs, if any of you want to, someone to talk to, I'm available, or one of the elders. Or if you want to join this family with immersion of baptism, please feel free to come up. As together we all stand and sing this next song.